Good morning, Franktown Church. It is good to be back with my home church family after being gone for quite some time. I've traveled like 25,000 miles since I saw you last. It's been a while. Before we jump into our worship time this morning, I have a favor to ask you. I have been blessed with an awesome mom. Many of you have met my mom. She's done cooking schools here. She comes and visits from time to time. And today is my mom's birthday. Would you help me make just a little short happy birthday video and sing happy birthday to my mom? That would be huge. I'm going to turn the camera around and sing super loud too, really loud. Let's see if I can turn this around and turn it to video. And if you know any like harmony parts or anything, go ahead and throw that in there too. And for the happy birthday part, her name is Karen, but go ahead and just say mom. That'll work better, and she'll know it's from me. All right. Everybody ready? All right. Let's see here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear mom. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mom. Love you. Bye-bye. Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I will send that to her a little bit later. She's going to love that. Let's see. Where's my clicker? My clicker's down here. All right. As most of you know, we were on a mission trip to Mongolia. And there was 11 of us total from the Franktown Church. We had Christy, Sophia, Sydney, Jack, Eli, Josh, Charmony, Jaden, Jude, Aaron, and myself. So 11 of us total. And anybody know where Mongolia is on the map? It gets really cold there in the wintertime. It was a little cooler there than it is here right now. But we were going over there to do medical clinics, work in an orphanage, and to preach evangelistic series. And I talked a little bit about this before we left, and so you kind of have an idea of what was going on. Mongolia is a really, really neat place to go. God's work is just exploding there, and it's just our church is a baby. It's brand new. We really haven't had much of a church there since 1992. Or up until 1992, under communism, there really wasn't anything there. And it's been since then that the church has started to grow. And It Is Written is working on doing evangelistic series. John Bradshaw is going to be doing a big series there next year. And there was a group that went in April, then our group here in August to kind of build up towards it. We did, I think, four or five evangelistic series. How many clinics did we have? We had at least five or six clinics going. And spread out all over the place. And we could probably spend the whole time telling you stories about our time there. But I wanted to share a couple pictures. Some of our kids got to hang out with Josh and Charmony in the clinics and do all kinds of fun stuff, dressed in scrubs and cleaning stuff and stuff that I won't do because I can't handle that stuff. So I'm glad Josh and Charmony could take care of that part of the mission trip. Christy and Aaron and myself and a bunch of the kids every day were out at the orphanage, which was just a ton of fun. We just wanted to bring all those kids back with us. Just beautiful, beautiful kids. And then in the evenings, I preached at a church called the Amazing Grace Church, and was a lot of fun. Here is Jude helping out at the clinic. And I just pulled, I don't know if I have pictures of quite everybody, but here's just a couple of them. Here is Sydney and Charmony at the clinic with one of the patients there. And the clinics were just such a huge blessing, because a lot of people don't have access to good health care there. Josh was telling me we had dental clinics as well, and there was a nursing home there, and they started bringing the nursing home patients to the dental clinics because they don't have dental care there, don't have good access to it. But all kinds of stuff they saw there in the clinics. Here's Sydney working there in the clinic. Here's Josh doing stuff that I wouldn't ever be able to do. In case anyone's queasy, we'll move right along. Here's out at the orphanage doing crafts with kids. The orphanage was about an hour's drive away out of Ulaanbaatar, and there was, I think, Aaron, 150 kids there, right around there, from ages 18 months to 17 years old. and just wonderful kids. And we had so much fun hanging out with them. It was a state-run orphanage, and we had a whole VBS thing planned and ready to go, and all kinds of stuff. And we had to make some big adjustments because when they got there, they're like, yeah, remember you said you were going to talk about Jesus? How about you not do that? And we're like, what? So Aaron did a really good job. We revamped everything and kind of snuck Jesus into some of our talks. And we were singing "This Little Light of Mine" and just having a really fun time with these kids. We had these little those little electric lights that you get and you turn the little light on underneath and it's a fake little flame there. These kids had never seen this stuff before, and so they were like clicking it and turning it, and they were like, "What in the world is this?" And they loved singing "This Little Light of Mine" because those little lamps. There's a little girl there at the orphanage. Here's Christy and Sophie, and it was the first day. All the kids were kind of like, "What? Who are you?" And the second day, they would just come running up to us and hug us and climb on our shoulders. And you could tell that these kids just really needed some love. So it was a lot of fun to do that. That the little guy that Aaron's holding is the youngest one there. He's 18 months old. His eye would be swelling shut from day to day. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it wasn't. And he was the youngest of five kids that were there at the orphanage in a family, five siblings. There's me and Christy with kids on our shoulders. I made the mistake of putting a kid on my shoulders, and then every kid wanted to go on shoulders. And everyone was like, thanks, Jamie. Now we're all we all got kids on our shoulders. But they had a ball. The boy on my shoulders has an identical twin there at the orphanage as well. Here's Sophie with some of the kids. And it was out in the mountains, so see all the forest behind Sophie? It was like that all over in mountains, just totally forested mountains. Beautiful, a little bit cooler than in the city as well. There's Jude. The little girl on his back is a twin as well. There were two sets of twins there at the orphanage. And there you can see some of the mountains in the background. Just a beautiful, beautiful spot. Not too far from the Russian border. There's the twins. And the little girl would not stop touching my chin because I had whiskers on my chin. And she was just fascinated that people grew facial hair. I don't know if she's never seen facial hair, but she just wouldn't stop touching my chin and rubbing at me like, it was kind of funny. But she, even for the picture, she wouldn't stop. Here's Christy and one of the little girls. We would go in there a little, and they were really well-behaved kids. It was really impressive, just really neat kids. And they would sit there, and we'd do crafts. They brought a bunch of Beanie Babies, like, I think, 1,000 Beanie Babies or something like that. And so each kid got a Beanie Baby, and they lined up real, and they came in, you could tell, just made their whole month just getting this little Beanie Baby. And they'd just sit there and look at it like, wow. And something so small. Here's Aaron with the little 18. You can see he's kind of squinting there. And 18 months old, can't walk yet. Kind of had a traumatic life so far. But here's some of the crafts. We made rainbows and talked a little bit about those. Here's our whole group. We had, there's a total of 66 people on this mission trip from all over the world. We had our Franktown group here and some other folks joining us every day at the orphanage. This was my 40th country, which I've been kind of, where I've told you I've been working towards 50 countries, and I thought that was pretty good until I met the lady all the way on the left. She's been to 112 countries. She was born a missionary kid in Africa, and she's been everywhere, and really cool lady to hear stories from. She's fearless, too. She's 74, and the taxi system in Ulaanbaatar is very different. It's basically every car is a taxi, and you can just wave them down, and it's like 10 cents a kilometer or something like that. And she's like, well, I'll just grab a taxi and take off in a city of 1.5 million. Fearless. She would just take off, and we're like, you sure you can get back? Oh, no problem. And really fun lady. This is the Amazing Grace Church where I preached every night. I was telling our Sabbath school group this morning, we had between 80 and 100 people there every night, and like 95% of everybody at the meeting were women. There were barely any men, like 3-4 men there out of the whole group. And I asked the pastors, like, where are all the men? And basically he told me that they're dead, that age group. The older age group, 55 and over, most of the men are dead because in the Soviet era, everyone drank really heavily, a lot of vodka, et cetera. Everybody smokes there. And the life expectancy is very, very low. The ladies do apparently much better because their health is a little bit better. But it was very unique speaking to a group that was just, there's just no men there. There's me preaching and about to hand out Bibles. The man next to me is the local pastor there, really good guy. And we handed out Bibles at the end of the week, last Sabbath actually, And these are the first Bibles anybody had ever gotten there. And we've been talking about Jesus the whole week and telling stories about Jesus in the Bible and basic gospel presentation stuff. And you should have seen the looks on these people's faces when they got their first Bible. Some people just held it and kissed it. One lady took it and held it to her forehead and walked away and just hugged it. And you could see that these stories about Jesus that they'd heard all week were making a big difference. And it was something very, very special and precious to these wonderful people. Apparently, I was a giant in their land. the little ladies on my immediate right and left, the lady in the purple is like 94. And then the other lady in the peach kind of outfit is, I think she was 83. And just sweet, sweet ladies. They would come every evening to the meetings. And a lot of fun. This is Josh and I getting ready to hand out some signs of the times in China. And we were a little bit nervous about doing that in China, but we slipped a few of them out. And China was a little weird. You always felt like somebody was looking over your shoulder. You know, like light posts that we have on corners and stuff, they would have those, and there'd be like 15 cameras on them. And you just knew somebody was watching. But we stopped in Beijing, China for 2 days on the way there. We had a layover and got to stop. And this is called the Temple of Heaven. That's our group there. Can't see any blue sky because there's smog. There's the blue sky out on the Great Wall of China, which was really neat to see. Kind of one of those bucket list sort of things that kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. There's another shot of the Great Wall. The mountains there in China were beautiful. This is in northern Mongolia. We spent a day or two out there seeing some of the sights and the beauty of Mongolia. Mongolia is an incredible country. Just beautiful. This is hiking. No filter on that. It's really that green. That's hiking down from the backside of that rock. Here's another valley we hiked up. Our guide said we hiked about 13 miles that day. I'm just exploring the mountains and such. These were our abodes when we were out in the mountains. They're the yurts, and they have a little stove in the middle to keep you warm. We rode these for a little bit, and that was kind of fun. We went on a horseback ride. Here's Charmony with a gold eagle, which is kind of cool. There's lots of birds of prey up there. Really, really neat. They love Genghis Khan. They call him Chinggis Khan. He's the hero up there, and they have this huge, 150-foot statue or something like that. And you can crawl up on top of that's the top of the horse that he's riding there, and that's our group. We went horseback riding as well, and just amazing countryside and views there. But the coolest thing was hanging out with the people, inviting them to meetings and telling them about Jesus. A lot of these people, it was the first time they'd ever heard about Jesus. We had some people. There's not really a lot of religion there, but what is there is there's a lot of shamans there, like a witch doctor. And when people have a spiritual question or need, they go to the witch doctor a lot of the time. And so we had people coming. We even had the kids of a witch doctor coming to one of our meetings, to the kids' meetings, until he found out it was a Christian meeting, and then he yanked his kids out. But we had a bunch of people that are of that religion coming to our meetings that are joining the church now. And it was just so awesome to be there. On the last day, I made a call for people to follow Jesus, and we had about 25 people raise their hand to join the church there and to follow Jesus with their life. And it was just so cool to see. The medical teams and everything worked just hand in hand with it. They took care of their physical needs and invited them to come address their spiritual needs, and it was just a perfect combination of everything. And so thank you for your prayers and support, and if you want to hear more stories, talk to Christy or Josh or Charmony or the kids, and I'm sure they'll have some more stories to share with you. Mission trips are awesome. If you've never been on a mission trip, figure a way out to go on a mission trip, because there's nothing quite like going on a mission trip and sharing your faith with somebody else. Today we're going to be looking at our opportunity to share our faith right here in our own country and in our own neighborhood. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It's the last two verses in the book of Matthew. It's the last thing that Jesus says before he goes to heaven. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." This verse is often called the Great Commission, and it was given by Jesus to everyone who believes that he is the Son of God. Why did Jesus ask us to teach? Notice it says in there, he wants us to teach the things that he has commanded, the things that are in the Bible. Why does God want us to teach? Well, he taught that those lessons were so important that they could save our lives, that they could give us eternal life. And if Jesus thinks they're important, they must be very important messages for us to share. But when we look at sharing our faith and witnessing, sometimes it makes us feel a little uncomfortable or awkward. A lot of us have maybe seen somebody who was a little bit pushy with their faith, who maybe overdid their witness a little bit and made it awkward. And maybe in the back of our minds we're thinking, well, we don't want to be that and turn people off, so we kind of just back off altogether and don't do it at all. But you see, this commission that God gave us is for every single one of us. And if we ask God to lead us and guide us, I believe that he will do it. But the temptation is to just back off so we don't make awkward situations. You ever been in an airplane? You always hear those airplane stories. It was a divine appointment, and I was sitting next to somebody, and I asked them what they were reading. You heard those stories? Airplanes make me a little nervous. I was like, all right, who am I going to sit by? Because I like the quiet time. And I'm always worried God's going to have plans for my airplane ride. That's probably the worst thing to say, right? But sometimes in the back of our mind, we're like, I just don't want it to be awkward. I don't want to be pushy. There's a guy, his name is Penn Jillette, and he's 50% of the duo Penn and Teller of a comedy show in Las Vegas. He's an atheist, staunch atheist. He had someone come and knock on his door. I think it was a Gideon offering a Bible. Knocked on his door and said, hey man, how you doing? Was a really nice guy. And offered him a Bible. And Penn Jillette did sort of a video blog about his experience that's pretty interesting, that deals a little bit with our faith and sharing. And he uses the word proselytizing. He says this, I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. He said, I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell and people could be going there or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, and atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? He then followed that up with a specific, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Jillette went on to say that if he believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and that you were unaware of the danger, he said he would tackle you, meaning that he would do all he could to get you out of danger. That's kind of an interesting perspective, isn't it? Never really thought of it that way, and I don't really think that really it's hate. But you see, what he's saying is that if you think it's important, if you think the message of God is important enough to save somebody's life, why aren't you acting like it's important? Here we have an atheist praising people proselytizing, which is not something you hear every day. Why is it so important that we share the faith that we have in Jesus? Why was that the last thing that Jesus said before he went to heaven? Hey, remember all these things I've taught you, but here, last thing I want you to do, be sure and tell other people the things that I've taught you. Go everywhere that you can. And teach the lessons that you have learned. Don't be shy about it. It's important. That's the last thing he says. Why is this so important? Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1 through 2 and 1 through 20. And we'll look at an instance where Jesus interacts with somebody, and you could say proselytizing. He helps the guy out spiritually. He sees spiritual needs, addresses them, and ministers to this guy. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And here is a picture of where our story happens today. Isn't that pretty blue water? This is where this story happens. Verse 2, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This, and that's code for he was possessed of the devil. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. That's a little weird, isn't it? And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, neither could anyone tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. This guy's got some big problems. Imagine living in that area, worried about your kids running out and playing because they might come across this crazy guy who lives in the graveyard. People have tried to chain this guy down. And he would bust the chains. That's a little crazy, isn't it? The devil had complete control of this man. And it had totally ruined his life. Isn't that what happens when the devil messes with us? Messes our lives up? We think, oh, it's just not going to be that big a deal, but the devil's got his hooks in us and can twist those things and just go one thing farther, one next thing, until our lives sometimes end up like this guy's. Maybe different varieties, same origination of sin. The devil had been working on this guy. I mean, he was out there cutting himself. Just crazy, cutting himself with rocks, bleeding, chains hanging off of his wrist. This was somebody made in the image of God. This was somebody with a guardian angel. And this is what the devil does to people's lives. You see, we don't often think about bad things. We like to think about positive things, uplifting things. But we are naive if we don't think and acknowledge that there is a devil who is wandering around like a roaring lion, trying to jack up our lives and ruin us spiritually. And here we see complete evidence of that with this man. The devil is still playing his same old tricks. The devil is still messing with people's lives. I read the news a lot. It's probably a bad trait because it's just depressing. Right before I left for China and Mongolia, I was reading a story about a father in Ohio, a father of three. His daughter, who was, I think, 6 or 7, had a successful heart transplant surgery when she was like 8 days old or something. And he and his wife were going through some marital problems, and she was moving out. He couldn't handle that. So he took a gun, shot all three of his small children, shot his wife, wrote a note, and shot himself. The devil is still up to his old business. ISIS is trained. I don't know if anybody saw the headline news yesterday with the picture of those 10 and 12-year-old boys with guns about to execute these men. ISIS is doing horrible things. The devil is still up to his old tricks. Boko Haram, you might hear about this in Africa, they're stealing kids by the hundreds from their families. And they brainwash them and train them to kill people. Like 12, 13-year-old kids. The devil is still up to his old tricks. In Asia, they traffic thousands of children every year. You can buy a 12-year-old girl for $150. The devil is still up to his old tricks, ruining people's lives. And there's only one solution for people like this man in the Bible. There's only one solution for the people that are going through horrible, horrendous things in this life. There's only one solution. I was on an airplane. I was sitting next to a lady, and this is when the conversation happened. She was reading a book. I was like, hey, what are you reading? She flips it over, and it's instructions on how to be a Wiccan witch. I was like, well, this is going to be an interesting flight. The devil's up to his old tricks. Convincing people that witchcraft is something good. Devil's up to his old tricks. There's only one answer for people today, and that is Jesus. That's the answer that this man needs in the struggles that he's going through in his life, and these struggles are ridiculously hard. The devil has this guy by the throat. Let's read what happens. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Isn't that weird? That happens a couple times with these demon-possessed stories, doesn't it? And you're like, well, that doesn't make a lick of sense. Why would they go and worship him? Think about this for a little bit, though. This is the demon in control of this man, right? Right or wrong? Right. He runs straight to Jesus and bows down and worships him. This is a little bit bizarre because this is not the first time this demon has ever done that, is it? He used to be an unfallen angel in heaven. What a crazy experience for this demon, right? He even is compulsed to go and worship at the feet of Jesus. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And he said to the man, or he said to the demon, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." You see, sometimes we think that our predicament is beyond the power of Jesus. Whatever it is that we're going through is just huge. I don't think predicaments get much harder than this guy's. But you see, when Jesus speaks words, when words come out of the mouth of the Son of God, big things happen. When we rely on the power of Jesus, big things happen. And Jesus says, "Come out of him, you unclean spirit." Right then, that demon has to obey. And in the grand scheme of things, in the great controversy, I am glad that I am on the side of Jesus. Amen? And because we are on the side of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of things like this. Some people freak out a little bit when we talk about these stories. Is there demon possession today? You bet. Does the devil have his claws in people with Ouija boards and witchcraft and all kinds of crazy things? You bet. And a lot of people are freaked out about that stuff. But you know what? There is no reason for a born-again Christian who believes in Jesus Christ to ever be afraid of anything like that, because Jesus is more powerful than the devil. And here we see an illustration of that, because as soon as the words come out of Jesus' mouth, "Get out of this man, you unclean spirit," he is a free man. He's a free man. And Jesus says, "What is your name?" And he says, and the demon answers and says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he also begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country, because Jesus had the power to do it. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding. This is always kind of a fun twist in the story. A large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. And so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place to the sea and drowned in the sea. This is kind of a funny little side note of Jesus. Were Israelites supposed to be eating pork or bacon? No. And this guy's like the main producer of that with 2,000 of these things. And Jesus is like, okay, two birds, one stone. We'll have a little health message in here as well. And these things go. Richard, do we have that video? I saw this video and it cracked me up, so I got to show you. Will it come on here? Someone made this video as part of the story. And as you know, I like to see things. And someone made this video. This is what happened at the end of the digital rendition of all the pigs running off the cliff. 2,000 pigs is a ton of pigs. I saw that and I was like, that's hilarious. I got to show that. And the pigs are gone. The demons are out. And here is this man. Verse 15, it says, "And they came to Jesus, saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. They began to plead with him to depart from their region." Verse 18, "And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might stay with him." The change that happened in this man is amazing. I don't think life gets any crazier than what this guy experienced. I've had a lot of crazy situations that I've seen in my life. Nothing comes close to even this. The devil had complete control of this man's life. And the only way he was able to be free of the shackles was by an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I want you to just picture in your mind maybe what he looked like before he met Jesus. The Bible gives a little bit of a description, but picture in your mind a little bit of maybe what he looked like, what he acted like. Now contrast this with the freedom he's experiencing in Jesus Christ as he's sitting there next to Jesus. Picture in your mind, what does he look like now? He's got clothes on. I bet you he's got a smile on his face. There's a peaceful look on the face that has been tortured, messed around with by the devil. And because he met Jesus, he is a free man. And it says he begged Jesus that he might stay with him. No doubt, right? Who wouldn't want to? But Jesus has something to say to this request. Jesus, can I please just stay with you? This is what Jesus says. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. You see, when he met Jesus and Jesus saved his life, naturally he wanted to be and stay right close to Jesus. Didn't want to leave his side. The Bible says he begged him. And yet Jesus had a ministry for this man that we only know as the demoniac. I hope he gets a new name in heaven, a better name. You see, Jesus had a mission, a ministry for this guy. He wasn't done with him when he cast the demon out and gave him freedom. He wasn't done with him. He says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to tell everybody you come in contact with what's happened to you. I want you to give your testimony. Tell people what I've done in your life. And then once you've told them, tell somebody else." Jesus had a ministry for this guy. And what a testimony, right? My goodness. Look at the scars on my arms. These are the chains. The devil had this guy by the throat, and Jesus set him free. If you think he's the only one since then that the devil's had him by the throat, you must be sleeping. Because in this community, up in Parker, in Castle Rock, Elizabeth, Franktown, there are people that the devil is working on and messing with. There are people in a similar situation that need an encounter with Jesus. Jesus, just like he had a ministry for this guy, he's saved us as well. He's taken the load off of our shoulders. He's forgiven us of our sins. We are different because we have had an encounter with Jesus. Just like Jesus had a ministry for this guy, Jesus has a ministry for you. Jesus is giving the same call to you to share your testimony, your faith, and be a shining light for him wherever you can be. Because I guarantee there are people in your circles, people that you come across during the weeks, maybe in your jobs, maybe in your neighborhood. There are people who are struggling with the temptations of Satan. And they need to be introduced to Jesus. And he has a ministry for you. Ministry isn't just about a minister. That's one of my, I'm minister, pastor. Some people say, well, that's all that stuff's just the minister's job, the pastor's job. In the book, Counsels for the Church, it says, let me make sure I quote it right. It talks about the whole church being part of this ministry. It says the ministers do their part, but they can never perform the work that the church can do. All of us have a ministry that God gives us, and there are people waiting to hear about your Jesus. When we were in Mongolia just last Sabbath, we were going out after church to go visit some people's homes. And some people, a lot of people live in those little white yurts that you saw the pictures of, which is a glorified tent. And some people have little ramshackle houses. And we were going out and visiting some different people's homes. And the head elder and myself and Pastor Godfrey Miranda's parents went to visit this lady's home. She'd been coming every evening to our meetings. And she'd, I think, come to the health clinic and had some checkups. She had some kidney problems. And she had just moved back into a home, a little home that they have that had been abandoned for 4 years. Nobody lived in it. And they just fixed it up and moved back in. And sometimes there's some superstitions about houses like that that have been sitting empty. And what they usually do is they go to the local shaman and they ask the shaman, what do we need to do to make sure our house is safe and that the spirits don't harass us? So the shaman will tell you to do such and such and this and that, and maybe he might come over and bless the house or whatever. And this lady who'd been coming, her husband wanted the shaman to do this. And again, a shaman is like a witch doctor. Like you read about in those old missionary stories. Those people still exist a lot. And this lady came up to the elder and said, hey, I've really been thinking about this. I've loved the stories about Jesus. She prayed for the first time in our meetings. And she said, you know what? My husband really wants the shaman to come and bless our house and do his little thing there. She said, but I want you guys to come and pray over our house instead. I want you to pray and ask God for protection to protect our house. And so off we went last Sabbath afternoon, walked through this, what we would call here a slum, I guess, and went into this little tiny house, and we had special prayer for this lady. She, you know, as we sat there and talked and listened, she'd lost two of her three daughters, one to a car accident, another to something else, and her third daughter, she hadn't heard from in like 10 years, and she had her kid that she was raising, and this lady's story was just tough. And you could see in her home and between her and her husband the struggle between good and evil, literally. And this lady had the chance to meet Jesus. And her encounter with Jesus made all the difference in the world. She chose, instead of following the shaman, she chose to follow Jesus and bank on the protection of God to protect her home. God wants to use you just like he used this guy. He changed this guy's life just like he's changed yours. And God has a ministry for every single person that he has had an encounter with and believes in him. I believe it says, I can't remember what book it says, it might be this book, Councils of the Church. It says, if you have gained anything in a relationship with Jesus, if you've experienced forgiveness, if you've experienced love, if you've experienced anything with Jesus, you have a story to tell. Some people say, I don't have a testimony. If you've experienced the love of Jesus, you have a testimony. If you have hope in Jesus, you have a testimony. If you've experienced forgiveness in Jesus, you have a testimony. And God is calling every one of us here today to the ministry of reaching out to the people in our circles. We're going to sing a closing song that talks a little bit about this. And I invite you to stand as we sing. And it talks about, it says, not I, but Christ. And sometimes when we get involved in ministry, we like to think, well, man, I did a good job witnessing to that person. But really, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one that gives us the strength to do this. We have a chance to be a witness for Jesus coming up soon here at the Franktown Church. Next week, I'm going to have a challenge for you. So please come back next week for part two. And I'm excited about the chance to share our faith as a church with our evangelistic series with Ty and David. And I would covet your prayers as we begin to start this. We've already had people asking for Bible studies, people that have just gotten something in the mail and thought, man, I really need to connect with God a little bit more. Pray for those people, those 12 people. Pray for the people that are just going to show up because they see the sign out front. Pray that God touches people's hearts that need to be here and reconnect with him or connect with him for the first time. I believe that God hears our prayers. And I believe that God already has been working on some people's hearts because this is a message they need to hear. And so I would ask that we join together as a church for the next few weeks and put this on your prayer list. Ask God to give you a couple opportunities to share your faith. And then when everything is done, we can look back and see how God was in the middle of everything. How it wasn't us at all, but God used us in little ways to point people to him. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, sometimes we're a little bit nervous about sharing our faith. And Lord, we ask that you give us just a holy boldness. Help us to not be afraid to talk about you. Because Lord, really in our hearts, we love you so much. And without you, we'd be nothing. And so, Father, because we have our hope in you, remind us that we have a testimony to share. And Lord, help us to be able to have an opportunity to share that and to reach somebody soon. There are people around us going through all kinds of crazy things. The devil's not sleeping. He's not overlooking South Denver. He's busy here, messing with people's lives. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to introduce them to our Jesus so that they can have the same hope and assurance and fearlessness that we have in you. Thank you, Lord, for being by our side and for helping us in all that we do in our ministry for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.